So this morning, today is the second of Advent. Anybody know what the word for the second of Advent is? No, peace. Yes, peace. No, you're just intelligent and you know, Nyla, you know. Today we're talking about peace. The second of Advent usually comes along with the words peace. And so let's take a look at some of the stories and actions of who Jesus is, okay? So Jesus came, we've talked a lot about Jesus came to die for our sins, to give his body. We had that conversation this morning. But Jesus came to, in a sense, be a disruption. The Old Testament, the children of Israel were looking for a warlord, basically. They were looking for the Iron Man or the Black Panther, the Captain America, to come riding in and to take care of business. Yeah. They wanted, because they were under Roman rule, and they didn't want that. They said, our Messiah is going to come, and he's going to kick that Roman rule out, and we're going to become the powerhouse, because we are God's chosen people. Hoorah! But that's not who Jesus was he? Jesus didn't come in riding on a gallant stallion. Yet Jesus came in to Jerusalem on a donkey. Some would say a gross animal, not a majestic beast, just a low, common work animal. But yet Jesus was countercultural. He was against the religious leaders of the time, right? As we read some of the various interactions Jesus had with we'll call them the pastors of his day, it wasn't always a good interaction, was it? It wasn't always, yes, we're on the same page. I'm glad that you like the way that I said those things. Jesus is like, no, you guys don't understand what I'm talking about. Let me tell you a story. And sometimes Jesus' stories, he intentionally told them to confuse the religious leaders, but so that way the people of the day would understand what he's talking about. That wasn't something that you would do. You weren't out to offend the religious leaders because they were important, prominent people. Yet Jesus was countercultural. He was also against the Romans and the rule that they had. Jesus also, we see and we read in scriptures, one account of Jesus going into the church and flipping the tables over. A little bit of some wrestling style, a little bit of as my daughter wants, she wants for Christmas, a ticket to Rage Room, where you go in and just start smashing things all about. Now, Jesus didn't go in with a sledgehammer, just start breaking stuff. That's not what Jesus did, but he did go in and flip the tables over to the money changers because people were in selling things in the temple to make a profit off the people coming in. That's what not the temple was supposed to be for. There was supposed to be an exchange of goods so people could receive forgiveness of their sins. They had to buy the doves or the goats or the sheep that were given for the sacrifice. So they had to come in an exchange. It was supposed to be a one-to-one ratio. Yet these folks were going, it's a two-to-one. I make a profit off of your needing to be forgiven. That's not what Jesus was about. That's not who God the Father was about. That's not what the rules were that were set up in the Old Testament. So Jesus got a little bit angry. But oftentimes when we think religious leaders, no, you should be calm. You should be mellow. Good vibes. Easy going. Shouldn't be flipping tables over, making people mad. But yeah, that's who Jesus was. Jesus also ate with sinners. That was a taboo of that time. Because as a rabbi or as a teacher, you were seen to be above people. And so if you went down a level to the lowest of the low, that's not what you did at that time. But yet Jesus came to associate himself with all human beings. He did not have a class ranking system. He didn't have this class is not as good as this class up here. It didn't matter if you came from money, or you were a Roman, or a Greek, or a Jew, or a Gentile, or a Samaritan. Jesus came to break and be countercultural. He healed people. He met with the Samaritan woman, understanding a rabbi would never do this, but yet Jesus came to fight against racism, to fight against the barriers that women experience, to fight against the clash of the cultures and of society. This doesn't sound like peace at all, does it? But yet it's exactly what Jesus was trying to do. The scripture that we have today, our main scripture, is Luke 2, 13 through 14. It's up here on the screen for you this morning. It says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel." So it's not just an angel. It's an angel came to bring a message, and there's a great multitude with this one angel, praising God. So imagine showing, being in this field that these shepherds were in, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, thousands of beings were in the sky singing and praising Jesus. Man, a heart's desire that I have wherever it is to be in a stadium. Yes, the World Cup is going on, but imagine if we were in a stadium of 80,000 people, and instead of screaming for the United States to beat the Netherlands and they lose anyways, right, Sherry? Instead of them, of teams, people screaming for a team, there's a stadium of 80,000 people screaming the name of Jesus, worshiping to their heart's content, loving and singing out his praise. Imagine the voice and what it would feel like if you were to stand in the middle of that stadium on the grass field and hear these voices all around singing the praises of Jesus. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. But it's like what these shepherds experience in that moment. And out of all of those voices singing the praises of God, the angel's voice came out loudest: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." What an experience, what a moment for these shepherds to witness. And the shepherds, the angels were addressing these shepherds. See, they were proclaiming the promise of peace that God, that Jesus was to bring on earth for the people of God. Now, we 2,000 years later, we know, and we, or maybe we have, don't know, but we've heard that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? That his message is the gospel of peace, and that Jesus' kingdom, his Father's kingdom, is the kingdom of peace. He is all about peace. And so what these angels were proclaiming is glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those whom his favor rests. These angels were proclaiming that the peace that is in heaven would be also available on earth. Imagine that the peace of heaven is available to you and I through the Son of Jesus Christ. Promise is available to you and I today. Jesus pursued peace with us. The Heavenly Father pursued peace with us so we could also have peace here on earth. And because of what Jesus did, he brought a reconciliation, or a renewing, or a setting right of our relationship with the Father. Why do we need a right relationship with God? Let's go all the way back to Genesis, because a man and woman made a choice to disobey what God said, and they ate a specific fruit, and that opened the floodgates for sin to enter the world. And that sin then became like a dam, a barrier between us and God. We could not get through. Humanity could not get through that. God tried to reset the order with Noah because the world was so awful. And God tried to reset it, but yet even with God's chosen man, the one man that God said, this is the man that is right in the world, even he still had issues and mistakes, and sin was still prevalent. So in that moment, God said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that again. But he said, but you know what? I have a plan. Jesus, let's get ready because you're going to go. You're the plan. You're the sacrifice. Sin has messed up this relationship. I want a personal one-on-one relationship with these people, but I can only have a relationship right now through the high priest. And yet I don't want that. I don't want to go through one individual. I want to be able to spread out to every single person that is on this earth. I want them to know me, and I know them already, and I want them to know who I am. So Jesus came and reconciled. He made peace between us and God. Colossians 1:20 says this, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Jesus didn't just come to say, peace. Let's have world peace. You know, Jesus wasn't one of them pageant ladies that I got up and said, if you could do one thing, what would you do in this world? I'd like to bring peace to the world. That's not what Jesus was about. Jesus was about bringing peace to us. He did not come just to save souls, but to redeem creation. He came to bring a wholeness to ourselves. In preparing for this message, one of the speakers that I watched brought up a very good point that I want to bring to you this morning. We often consider peace to be rest and stillness. I know as a parent, sometimes I just want, hey kids, let's have a moment of peace in the house. I got a hurricane in a three-year-old and I got a teenager in a teenager. And as if you've experienced and hung out with teenagers, they're not always calm and peaceful, are they? And if you've hung out with my son Elijah, you know that he sometimes just does not stop. He just goes and goes and goes and goes. And sometimes he goes, ah! It's like, what's going on? And he just goes, ah! No reason at all. It's like, peace, let's be quiet, let's be calm. Jesus didn't come to bring us that kind of peace. We often think peace is the opposite of war and chaos. But the word peace from the Bible actually means wholeness, or a state where all essential parts are joined together. See, folks, we have to realize that we are broken. And yet the peace of God has come to restore us, to make us whole, to make us right. That's what the peace of God is. Not the opposite of the chaos that we feel inside. Not the end to war, but the end of our brokenness, a restoration of our entire being to be whole, to be made right. Folks, peace is possible in our homes and in our churches when everyone has their part to play and we work together in harmony with one focus. That's why often we see the New Testament says that the church is the body of Christ, because we all have a part to play in God's church. Whether God's church for you is Stockholm Community Church or whether it's Church ABC down the road, we all have a part to play. Some of us say, well, I'm much easier by myself. I like doing things by myself, and I don't like hanging around people. Sometimes I hear you on that one. I do. But God made us to be relational beings. That doesn't mean that all of us have to be exactly the same and outgoing. Some of us are extroverted and some of us are introverted. Some of us are extroverted introverts and some of us are introverted extroverts. We're all unique individual pieces. Just like my entire body is not made of my hand. That would be interesting, trying to eat with my hand. But my body is made up of lots of parts, right? And each part of my body serves its own unique function. Just like my ear doesn't do the talking, but it does the listening, helps funnel in the sounds. Some of us might be the talking parts, but some of us are going to be better at listening and hearing what people have to say. so that way the brain can process what's going on and receive back the information to, okay, there might need to be some adjustments that we need to make here and there as the body. Some of us are much better at taking off and running. Some of us are really good at telling people about the love of Jesus. That's evangelistic. Some of us are really good at that. But others of us, talking to other people about Jesus gives us a little bit of fear. That's okay. But you might be better at helping those that already know who Jesus is learn more about him and grow deeper. Just like the roots of a tree don't just stay shallow, because if you stay shallow, when the wind comes, your tree's going to fall over. Just go walk in any through any Swedish forest and you're going to see that. There's a lot of root balls that spread out 3, 4, 5 meters. But the tree has fallen over because they haven't been able to go deep because of the rocks that are in the soil. But if we as Christians are able to dig deep in our roots and understand who God is and what he has called us to be, when the storms of life come, we aren't going to blow over. So maybe your part in the body is to be able to help us go deeper. Maybe your part that you share in the body is you're great at spreadsheets and the stuff behind the scenes and keeping the budget balanced. Maybe that's the part that you play. So we don't all get to stand up front. We're not all fingers. We're not all eyes. We're not all noses. We're all different parts of the body. But yet the peace of God is that we all play a part. And when the body operates as whole, we operate in peace together. The kingdom of peace allows us to build the kingdom of unity. So our peace that Jesus brings is not just peace for our circumstances. It's purpose in God. It's pleasure in who God is. It's power in the name of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. And when he woke up and they woke him up, Jesus said, peace to the storm, right? So in your life, when things are chaotic and life is going crazy, we should remember that there is wholeness and peace of who God is. Sometimes we want Jesus to be sitting right next to us so we can, Jesus, wake up! Shout at this storm, Jesus, I can't handle this anymore. Jesus is saying, go to my word. Let the word of God be the shout for you that you need today. Because the Bible says that the word of God is the weapon that we have. It is the only weapon. We'll talk about it later in next year in 2023. But we have been given armor. So going back to the medieval or back to Jesus' times, we have armor that we've been given that we're supposed to be putting on as believers of Jesus Christ. But there is one weapon and one weapon only that we've been given, the sword of the truth or the Bible. The word of God is the weapon that we have. And so if we're to combat the storms in our life sometimes, we can't just say, Jesus, speak and wake up. But we sometimes have to grab the word of God, the words that he has already spoken. We have to speak out the word of God. We have to be saying it out loud. We have to hide the word of God inside of us so that way when those thoughts come of me being just a disaster and a failure and a broken individual, I can say, yes, I feel that way, but I know the truth is greater than my feelings because I am a son or daughter of God. I am more than a conqueror. I have the one who has overcome death, hell, and the grave inside of me. So I am whole and I can have peace in the midst of the storm because it feels like everything's falling apart and breaking off, but I am still whole because Jesus's life was given for me to bring wholeness, to bring peace to who I am. Because Christ pursued peace with me, I should then feel the responsibility to pursue peace with others. The Bible talks quite often about being people of peace. Those who are to seek peace and pursue it relentlessly, we are commissioned into the world to be peacemakers and peacekeepers. Jesus in the Beatitudes is a great message. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So he is saying, do your best and as much responsibility as you bear in the situation, be a peacemaker. Now, let's also realize, being at peace with everyone is not always a reality, is it? Because we can't have everybody like us. Some of us try really hard to make sure everyone in our lives and those that are around us like us and are happy with us. But that's not always going to be the case. People are going to hurt us. People are going to disappoint us. People are going to undermine the peace that we tried to establish, whether it's in our life or even in the church. But yet, according to Romans 12, the scripture we just read, it is my responsibility to make the effort of peace. I get to do my part to be a peacemaker. It's not my responsibility how someone else responds. But I have to at least do my effort to make peace available in all situations. If people choose to stay angry and refuse to reconcile when things have gone off course, then we must let them go with the hopes that they'll circle back. It's not a, well, you don't want peace, see you later. It's not what that's saying. It's not what the Bible says at all. But it's, hey, okay, all right, you don't want peace, that's all right. I'm just going to let it go. My prayer, though, is still that one day you'll circle back around, that we can still maintain a relationship of some sort. So when there is the chance and opportunity to make peace, we can do that and grow together. God has called us to be a people that pursue and to live out and work out peace, to be peacemakers. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The world that we live in is a broken world. It's the reality. It's the truth. People would come back and say, nah, you can't say that people are broken. We are. We all have issues. We all have things that we need to work out. We all also try different things to find the peace that makes us satisfied. I know for me, when I was younger, I went through a phase where I didn't have this peace, even though I knew who Jesus was. And so my mode for finding peace was through food. I ate a lot of food because I thought it would feel good and bring a peace to myself, but it never did. See, Thessalonians says again, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation. At all times in every situation. I can't buy his peace. I can't consume his peace. I can't earn the peace that he provides. But one thing I can do, one thing you can do, is we can accept the invitation for the peace that he offers us today. And we can accept that invitation tomorrow. We can accept it on Tuesday and on Wednesday. We can accept it on January 8th. We can accept it on January 24th. We can accept it July 28th. We can accept it next December 3rd. We can accept it every single day of our life, the life that we live, that God sees fit for us to live. Because now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times. All times. It's not just available on one day a week. God's peace is not available just for you on a Sunday. So if you decide to miss a service at Stockholm Community Church, well, there goes your peace for that week. Now you're 2 weeks in the hole. That's not how it works. But it's at all times and in every situation. You're invited to accept his peace. So today, my first takeaway is I want to offer that and extend that invitation. Maybe you're here and you've known the peace of God and it's been a part of your life, but right now you need the peace of God. Whether you need to reestablish and restore the relationship with him, or you're in a relationship, but you've just kind of got lost a little bit, got down in the mud too much, and your ears are full of mud, and you can't hear his voice. This morning's an opportunity for you to respond and say, Jesus, I just lift up my hands, and I accept your invitation to peace today. The second takeaway I have for you is this, or a question anyways. Do you make it easy for others to make peace with you? I want to encourage you today, keep the door to your heart open. I know it's not easy. I know people hurt us. I know people offend us. They disappoint us. But we should do our best to be peacemakers, because this season, this Advent week of peace, we're called to remember that God came to make us whole. So let's also do our best to make the relationships we have whole as well. So this morning, with everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, or just close your eyes, I want to give us all an opportunity to respond today. So that first response is for you to accept the invitation that God is giving you this moment for peace in your life. As that Thessalonians said, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times, in every situation. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor Brandon, I need the peace of God in my life. For whatever reason it is, whether I need to reestablish my relationship with him, or there's a situation in my life where I need his peace, his wholeness. If that's you, I would ask that you would raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just come to you right now. Lord, I ask in this moment right now, peace. The peace of the Father would come. Lord, there are various situations, there are circumstances. I don't know everyone's situation or circumstance. I maybe know one. But you know every single situation that is here. Lord, you know if there's a need for peace and wholeness in the body. You know if there's a need for peace and wholeness in a housing situation, in a job situation, in a relationship situation, in a financial situation. Lord, you know what each moment is. You know what each situation is. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace, and we open our hands and our hearts and our minds, and we accept your invitation of peace. Lord, help us right now in this moment to be enveloped, to be overwhelmed by your peace, your wholeness, to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to our minds about what that situation is that we are bringing to you. Lord, if we need a restored relationship with you, I pray that right now, in the name of Jesus, relationship is restored, that they would call on you as their heavenly Father, the King of their heart, the Savior, ask for forgiveness of their sins. Lord, set them on the new path, the path that is walking with you on a daily, moment by moment, minute by minute, second by second basis. Thank you, God, for restoring that relationship. Thank you for reaching down and loving on your child this morning. Lord, for those that need a peace and situation, God, it is coming for them right now. I just declare and I speak in faith that this situation will have peace, that wholeness will be there. You will speak to them. You will show them the light. You will show them the way. You will wrap your arms around them. In somehow, some way, they will know you are there in the midst of the situation with them. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, you are there. Praise you, Lord. We also just want to invite an opportunity if you know that you need to do a better job at extending peace, to make it easy for others to be at peace with you. If that is you this morning, I ask that you'd also raise your hand in this moment. Say, I need to do a better job at being a peacemaker. If that's you, just raise your hand, please. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Father, I pray for my friends this morning. God, help them to be peacemakers. Lord, I know it's not easy to be a peacemaker at all times. Yet that's what you've called us to be. Help us in our situations to understand that you are the example of what peace is and a peacemaker is. So help us to look to you. Help us to pick up your word and to read through it more and to memorize it so it's inside of us. So in those moments when we don't feel like being a peacemaker, your word comes as a reminder to us, oh yeah, it's not what I want. It's what God wants. And God wants me to be a peacemaker. So I'm going to choose his path and not the path I want. God, help us to bring peace into unity to this world, Father. We love you, Jesus. God, thank you for today. Again, Lord, we ask that you would touch those that are not with us this morning, that were unable to be here. Heal their bodies. Speak to their situations. Be a peacemaker for them. Bring wholeness to their bodies, to their minds. That we would just hear great things next week about what you are doing in the lives of your children. We love you, Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. As Kian put some music on, this morning, as I mentioned, people are sick, so we have a little bit of a different thing for Fika today. The Fika that was supposed to be here is not here, it's here? Okay, it's here. We have Fika, and then we also have some cookies in support of Ukraine. Just want to also let you know in these next few weeks that we as a church are working with Paulina and her sister Anastasia to support some efforts to raise funds for a generator for Ukraine. So as you go about these next few weeks and are thinking about it, if you would like to give to the church to help buy some of these generators, it's to help homes have electricity, because with all the different things that are happening in this war, there's a lot of power grids that are down. So homes and people need electricity to stay warm. Hospitals need generators so that way they can continue treating people in the hospitals. And so we as a church are going to work with them. We have some folks that are lined up there in Ukraine to help out. And so if you want to give, whether you give today via Swish or you give via Bank Euro, I forgot to do that as well earlier, along with tithes and offerings. So this giving towards Ukraine is above your tithes and offerings. So in that, just mark Ukraine. And over these next 3 weeks, we are just going to be collecting up an offering to help out in Ukraine with buying some generators. All right. So our goal is at least 6,000 crowns that we want to be able to give towards that effort. So if you want to give in that, swish the church and make sure you write Ukraine. And again, above your tithes and offerings as well this morning. So I'm also going to stay up here and just linger here for a little bit. If you'd like prayer for whatever situation you're going through, I'll be here to pray with you and take that moment. Otherwise, we have our Fika there in the back. Feel free to say hello to Sharon and say thank you to Sharon and Marlon for setting that up for us today. Let them know that you appreciate the work that they've done this morning in setting that up, all right? So go have a great week. Hopefully tomorrow's a great day, because Sunday's here. Make Mondays better. Have a great week.